Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Volume 11. Today we have another international guest, which I'm so honored to speak with because it's the one and only Giacomo Tura. He's a great, great guitar player, and you guys have certainly seen him around playing lots of funky and groovy and tasty riffs and making incredible content that is just enviable, to be very honest. But at the same time, we're making this podcast so that we don't have to have the whole mystique behind the crazy guitar playing, and we can see how he got where he got and learn a little bit from him, because he's a guy that is very well accomplished and he's all over the place. So that's what motivated me to invite him to the show. So Giacomo, it's an honor to have you here. I'm going to make a very quick presentation, and then you can see whatever you'd like to add on or maybe correct about you. But just so people that maybe don't know, if that's even possible, haven't seen you around before, you're a guitar player that plays mainly R&B, funk style. You have crazy good rhythm guitar, and you mainly post videos on your Instagram and YouTube pages in a very rapid pace. You've been growing a lot as a guitarist, as a musician, and I think that's how people will end up knowing who you are and being connected with your music. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, that's exactly how I started. Yeah.
So one thing that I wanted to get started with, because you are a guy that is so intimately connected with the internet as a whole, you're a guy that your biggest outreach has been online. How do you manage having your personal pre-internet life, where you're the guy practicing in your bedroom, making a few shows in Italy in your hometown, and something that you plan to record or your videos? How do you make that in between of like your plans? How do you study for that? How do you work for that? How do you manage your life between the online and the offline world?
So I started playing guitar when I was 13, 14 years old, self-taught. Like I was attracted to play guitar by my dad buying records. And then there was a very big friend of mine in middle school that wanted to start learning guitar. And he said, yeah, come with me. And we did a couple of lessons together. And I was just so bored because we were always studying like scales and exercises. And I kept on going to the teacher saying, hey, can we play this, like Muddy Waters or Led Zeppelin songs? So yeah, I kind of lost interest, but that kept me going. And I wanted to start, you know, playing guitar more and more. And I just did it for fun until the lockdown, until the 2020. And there, for the first time, I had so much time on my hands, so much free time. And I was like, okay, I really want to get better at my hobby, you know, at my passion, playing guitar. Because I was studying at university online, and that was very quick, very easy. And I had a lot of free time, so I started really putting myself to it. And I started to basically listen to all this record and watching all these videos. And I started transcribing a lot. I cannot read a musical sheet, but I transcribe just tabs on a sheet. And I just started transcribing all these cool solos and ideas and licks and trying to make them my own, trying to understand the concept behind these licks. And then I was, you know, there was all this big community of guitar players. In 2020 was still a lot more of that, like neo soul, pickup jazz, you know, all that community. Oh, yeah. Then now is a little lost. You know, I think everybody is a little tired of that neo soul guitar. But at the time it was big. And I wanted to bring something more funky, more groovy, not all the same, you know, usual like licks. I wanted to be inside the community. And I just started trying posting some videos for fun. And then there was a time that I posted a loop cover because, you know, I was alone in my bedroom during the lockdown and nobody could see each other in Italy to play together with my bandmates. So I was like, okay, instead of playing to a backing track, it would be cool to actually try to use the loop station and record like using the octaver for the bass sound.
Oh, I see.
A rhythm guitar with some chorus and then do a lead with overdrive.
Kind of like a one-man band kind of vibe, right?
Yeah, and I posted a cover of I Want You Back by Jackson 5. And I woke up the next morning and my Instagram was like full of messages and comments. I never seen anything like it. And from that, I just, you know, started to ride the wave, staying consistent. But yeah, to answer your question, usually when I prepare a video, you know, I am the only one who manages my social media. I do all the content by myself, like with my phone. When I do band stuff, I have a friend that's helping me. But apart from that, like, I mainly do all my stuff. I edit my videos, I record everything by myself. And part of it why it works really well on social media is because it's homemade and it's made by me. You know, I experienced that if you do a very high quality stuff with a very professional, like, camera, a lot of cuts, people don't relate to it. People on Instagram want to see something that they feel like they can do too, you know, and that is made for them. So yeah, I am the only one who manages all of that. And basically, every time I prepare, I always try to come up with new arrangements for every video. Try not to repeat myself. So, you know, I'm here in Los Angeles. I was here in NAMM, and I got stopped a lot, which it was incredible, you know, to meet my audience and other fellow musicians that I really admire too. And some of my followers were asking me, so do you improvise all of your videos, or is it like you prepare all of it? And of course, you know, I want to be honest, like, sometimes Instagram gives a little bit of a false image.
Yeah.
Because, you know, now it's 1 minute 30, but when I started, it was 1 minute for videos, 30 seconds for reels. That's what you had.
Oh, that's true.
You know,
true.
At the beginning it was even 15. Yeah, remember?
Yeah.
You know, once it was that, it was 1 minute or 30 seconds for real. So, you know, you gotta have at least a general structure, a general idea of the solo. Because, you know, when you come to my live show with my band, I can do a solo and I can have like, I don't know, I can have like 16 bars, 32 bars, and I can just, you know, start slow, take my time, build up the crescendo, play some cool licks to create tension, go back. But on Instagram, it's not like that. Like, if you just improvise on Instagram, you're gonna get one or two cool ideas, interesting ideas, in the span of 1 minute, and they're gonna be at the end, and people already scroll down, you know, your videos.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
you know, there's music and there's music for social media. You gotta try to condense all the cool ideas, all the flashy stuff, and still make something that it's, you know, enjoyable and listenable and groovy inside 1 minute. So there are some tricks that you learn to do. For example, in the first 5 seconds, you have to put something, to give something to the audience, you know, like a fast lick, like a slap little
I see.
Thing,
you have to catch their attention, right? In the first 5 seconds.
Yeah, because, you know, people are scrolling and they want to stop to your video, you know.
Yeah.
And real music doesn't really work like that. You know, you can start a solo, you can have like the first two bars where you don't even play, you just, you know.
Yep. You can build the ambience, right? If you're like in a jazz improv, if you take 16 bars or 24 bars, who cares?
Yeah.
Your song just went from being 9 minutes to 9 minutes and 30.
Yeah.
So like it really doesn't matter, right?
But on Instagram, you gotta at least have a general sketch of the video you wanna do. You know, you gotta have the beginning, the lick, some ideas in the spot, and an ending. And then what happens in between, you know, it's not always the same. You can change it up and see what works best. But at least you have gotta have a general structure, you know, because you're basically trying to put a song inside 1 minute.
Yeah.
And so for that, you gotta have a general sketch, in my opinion.
I see. I see. And you said that you got into the online world during the pandemic, right? During the lockdown.
Yes.
So before that, you were mostly an offline guitarist, like most of us are, if we're being quite honest.
I was just, honestly, I was studying design and art. I was a bedroom guitar player. Yeah, I was playing for fun, playing for myself. I had a high school, I had a band with my friends in high school who were also like not professional musicians. We all learn by ourselves. No, actually, the drummer was the only one who actually studied in a music school, but everyone else was just, you know, when I met my bass player, he didn't even play bass. Like, he was just a very big fan of the music that I was fan. I was like, okay, I will teach you some bass, you know. But it was very, like, very beginner stuff. And honestly, nothing really, I was not like a very surprising guitar player. probably to others' opinion. Yeah,
Really?
but you know, during the lockdown, with all this time on my hands and starting to transcribe, and also you know, shooting videos for Instagram is a great exercise. If you're like me, that every time you try to come up with a new idea, a new arrangement, you're not just playing always the same licks.
I
So
see.
every time you're like transcribing like a George Benson video, oh, here's a really cool lick that I could use here. You know, and you arrange all of this stuff, it's a great exercise to get better. And of course, as I told you, I'm not musically trained. So like I don't know how to play scales. So when I play, when I write solos, I really try to think in terms of like ideas and how to connect them,
I
you
see.
know.
I see. Yeah.
That's my approach. And of course, it has some limitation, but at the same time, I think for some stuff, when you visualize the fretboard, you're more free to just try stuff out. I don't know, maybe it's just my opinion, but I was talking to some other musician, and there are other people that think that too.
That's so cool, dude. How like being on the internet helped you become a better player, right? Because you gained the new mindset of growing not only online, but make your
Yes.
playing more interesting. So, what kind of tips would you give to someone that wants to gain some notoriety online, but also in, like benefit their playing while they're making these new videos?
Yeah, the suggestion that I'll always give is go for trial and error.
Hmm.
Like I the one of the questions that I receive the most from my following, you know, my following is 90% musician and 70% guitar players, you know. So, you know, I get so many messages of people, hey, I just started, you know, posting videos like you, and can you check this video that I just did? And there are some stuff that you can do that are general stuff that Instagram is gonna help you promote. You know, for example, if you shoot a vertical video, which for me is something that it's to take for granted, but for some people probably it's
Oh, I
not. You know,
see. Yeah.
if you do a video with a natural lighting, facing the camera with a good like proportion of your body showing the guitar, but always not like not facing the camera, but like looking in the camera, because you know you involve people to watch what you're
I
doing.
see, I see.
Natural light, bright colors, no cuts, no text, vertical video. You know, of course, Instagram is gonna push that much more than a black and white horizontal video, you know, in a very like dark room. But for some people, you know, that's not important. But of course, it's important if you ask me how to promote yourself on social media.
I see.
Apart from all these tricks, you know, everyone is doing its own thing. Do not focus on one thing. Like if you go, I still have my first video that I posted. It was in my room and it was all dark. I don't know why. It was during the day, but I like close all the like all the
Oh,
windows,
yeah, the
sheets
curtains.
for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was like a strange neon green light, and it was like a loop of Redbone of Childish Gambino. Everyone was playing that song during that time.
So you probably
Nothing
cringe when you
interesting.
look back to it, right? Like, oh my God,
Yeah,
what was I
and it
doing? But
was
at the same
very,
time, that beginning was essential for you to
yeah,
get to the level you are today,
very
right?
sloppy playing. But then again, okay, that stuff didn't work. Do not get stuck on that. Try something completely different, because then, you know, I go to these pages that people send me, and you can see that it's always the same style. What I was trying to do, it was, you know, if you go to my first videos, I was, okay, I don't know if you're gonna see it. This was the first video, you know,
Yeah.
which was not that bad actually. Like looking, I even did like a little zoom in, zoom out. But apart from that, okay, here's the first, here's the second one.
Oh, I
Like natural
see.
light. I was always trying to do different stuff until, as I told you, that I Want You Back loop funk thing worked out for me. And then, okay, this is what people like. Let's try to focus on that and see if we can do something a little different. But, you know, go for trial and error until, because you just really need one video to start, you know,
I
to create
see.
your audience. And then, you know, you engage, you reply to comments, you create a community, you know, it's very important. Like
I
at the
see.
beginning, now I cannot do it anymore. But until like 1 year ago, if you go to my videos, I was replying to every comment. Now, like with touring and everything, I cannot do it anymore. I should probably hire
And
someone to do it for me.
you
But
have
it's
too many
really
followers,
important.
right? Which is a great thing, so
No,
it's kind
yeah,
of
but
fun
it's
to.
really important for, you know, people want to get interested in what you're doing. So you gotta give, you know, they're asking for gear, they're asking for tabs, they're asking for You know, you gotta create a community, and that's the only way. You cannot just expect to post out stuff and get like exposure for nothing, you know.
Yep. And I find that mentality so great, because I feel like that's the mentality of the modern guitarist that knows that he has to go after his fans.
Yeah.
Not the contrary. Because back in the days where you had record labels and maybe you were a great guitarist and the record label would do all the rest, would do all the promoting, would do all the recording, would do everything, right? So you were like, okay, it's just I just need to compose. I just need to record my music, and then the fans are gonna go to my show because I don't have to I don't have to do anything. The record label, sure, they take 90% of my income, but they also do like a lot of the work that's involved with the whole playing, right? So with that, I feel like this modern way of thinking that you have to find these fans, you have to find your format, you have to find your audience in your community, is what differentiates someone that is playing with social media in like a non-professional way, and someone that's taking it seriously like you do, which we can obviously,
of course,
because of the consistency of your videos, the quality of your videos, like how everything is so well thought out and executed. Like you've got that.
Yeah.
You've got that nailed, and that's because, kind of like what you just showed us, since the beginning you've been trying new formats until you found something you liked, right?
Yeah, but that's also a thing that I want to like emphasize, is that I grew up in a little town in Italy, like in the Alps. Like I was born in Milan, but then I moved to Trento. And, you know, for me, like the music scene was basically for that, the music that I wanted to play was not existing. So this is why I focus completely on social media. You know, there are accomplished guitar players that have, you know, maybe lives in LA or lives in Dallas or whatever. And they have like jam bars, jam sessions every Saturday. And that's their Instagram. That's the way to get exposure. And they don't really care for Instagram. They can just repost videos of the concert, or they can post like the food that they're eating and be very famous, accomplished guitar players, you know.
I see.
But for me, it was not like that, because in Italy, like the funk scene is basically, is not existing. You know, we got a little jazz, we got hip hop, but, you know, especially in the town that I was growing in, that for me was not an option. I didn't have like a stage, you know, so for me, Instagram was my stage. This is why I put so much work and effort, because for me, all the opportunities, the working opportunities, you know, connecting with my audience, connecting with other musicians and producers, everything for me came from social media, because I didn't have that connections in real life.
Yeah.
You know, and then they translated to real life. In fact, today I'm here at the last day of NAMM in LA, you know, so you can actually take stuff from social media and move them out to real life if you're able to do it.
Yeah, you're a guy that managed to do that perfectly. So when you look at the results you have nowadays, you said, we talked a little bit about the how the post needs to be, right? Oh, you need to have like a certain thing that the platform will like, and put hashtags and have lighting and so and so. What would you say about the mindset on the person that's behind the screen? Like, how do they have to portray themselves online? Do they have to look at as a job, or maybe something that's a little bit more relaxed? Do they need to have that consistency of like, oh, I don't know if you ever did that, but like, I'm going to post at least one video every week? Or do they have to like, what are the kind of things like that they have to keep constantly keep bringing up new ideas and new formats, and like for them to eventually get to a place where they're satisfied with their reach instead of just accommodating and posting whatever, you know?
Yeah, you know, I think that also depends on the kind of music that I play. Like, I try to be as much as genuine as I can. In fact, some people will, at the beginning, now it's not like that anymore, but at the beginning when my profile was growing, I remember there was some comments and people were asking, why you're always smiling at the camera? And, you know, I know it can feel fake, but if you look at my live shows footage, or the pictures that I post at my concerts, you know, I'm all, because it's, you know, it's such a fun genre of music to play. But yeah, to answer your questions, you know, even if you play like metal, even if you play like hard rock, to me, there's gotta be a certain level of engagement with your audience, you know, and that means with your phone, because your audience is not actually there in your room or whatever you're recording.
Yeah.
You know, it's gotta feel like a live, because sometimes, you know, you got guitar players that send me their stuff and they're just like so like serious and like into it, but you know, you gotta, you know, it's like a show. Like if you're
I
always
see.
like down there, you don't connect with your audience.
Yep.
You know, people can say, wow, amazing chops and stuff. But you know, even already you're losing a lot of that connection and energy because you're not physically there, but you're just posting a video. But at least, you know, looking at the camera, try to involve your audience in what you're doing. Seems kind of stupid, I know, because you're
No,
looking at
no.
the phone, but it's very important, in
That
my
is
opinion.
insanely important because what you just said is like you need to have for your audience to feel energized and happy and want to engage, you need to be the one that's energized and engaged. How do you want
Yeah,
people to
right.
like
You
feel
gotta believe
attached?
into it. Yeah.
Yeah. How do you want people to connect to you if you're like such a downer and you don't feel like playing what you're playing, right?
Yeah, right.
it doesn't make any sense. And dude, I think it's amazing. I just wanted to get those like small tips from internet and Instagram because I know you're a pro at it,
Yeah,
but
sure.
now I really want to get to another part, which is like sure, we can talk about the growth and the numbers and the recognition, but I also want to talk about your musicality that sometimes because you do short videos like under 1 minute Instagram videos, people can't appreciate for what you are as a guitarist. So you have crazy chops, kind of like what you said before. You have crazy influences that I imagine goes from, I don't know, Jackson 5 to Cheek to
Yeah.
like, I imagine there are so many funk bands behind all your playing, right? So Nile Rodgers and all those crazy guitar players. What was that like for you? Is that something that like as in the beginning as a guitarist, because you cited, for example, Led Zeppelin before, which is the beginner of most guitarists. Oh, we're gonna start at rock almost inevitably, right? Because the thing that makes us like guitar and want to play guitar and start playing the instrument is generally rock.
Yeah.
So what made you a funk guy, an R&B guy?
Yeah, it's strange because none of my parents plays music, but my dad and his dad, my grandfather, were big vinyl record collectors, and my mom was a dance teacher. So, you know, growing up, I was exposed to all this kind of music, like jazz and fusion by my dad, like Miles Davis, Weather
Oh, jazz
Report,
fusion. Oh, I see.
RBN.
So like Chick Corea, all
Yeah.
those guys that are.
Herbie Hancock, yeah,
Yep.
Chick Corea, and then by my mom, like when sometimes I used to go with her to the dance lessons, or she just put like the dance playlist that she used for teaching. You got like Stevie Wonder, Superstition, and all these like funky, more like danceable, groovy songs.
Yeah.
But then you know you are in middle school, you're like a grumpy 12 years old guy with this like problem with girls and everything, so you don't really like that music. You want to play rock because that was like 2010s, so that was the years of like alternative rock and all that stuff. And then you know you end up playing for s strange stuff, like your best friend wants to play guitar and you go with him, or you like see the movies Tenacious D, or you play Guitar Hero, you know, stuff that is stupid, but you know you end
I
up
went through all those
yeah
phases, by the way.
yeah right.
We can
It's
make
like
fun of it, but
everyone,
also admit that
yeah.
it's true, right? I've played Guitar Hero. I've been inspired by Tenacious D movie. I've
Yeah,
done
all
all
the
those
like
things,
silly
right?
stuff. But when you're 12, that doesn't sound like silly. You know, I want to do it like that. So then I started, you know, like a lot of blues, a lot of Led Zeppelin, Guns N' Roses. I think it's probably every guitarist went through those
Of
phases.
course.
And then after a while, you know, I went back to all these records that I was listening when I was a kid, and I tried to understand while I was learning guitar. I started to understand the musicality and the complexity of it,
I see.
and I started to to put stuff together and to try to learn that music. And yeah, it opened a very big world to me, like George Benson, John Scofield, Nile Rodgers, Prince, for it, you know,
So it was a
everything
taste
that,
that,
yeah.
because of a little bit of your family, a little bit of your in-depth study on the music, on the guitar, you ended up reaching where you reached today,
Yeah.
right? I see.
Yeah,
It wasn't
exactly.
like a specific gig. It wasn't like a
No,
specific
no, no. It
influence
was
directly from your dad, your
no,
mom, right?
it was music that I had in my ear since I was a kid. And then of course, you know, if you grow up listening to certain things, when you start to get a little older, like 12, you know, when you get like adolescent, you want to get out of that music and find your own music, you know. And then, you know, it's strange you go back to the music that you were listening when you were a kid. It's strange.
I see, I see. Yeah. And it's really great because those guys are like the building blocks of rhythm guitar. If you stop to think about it, it's like I love talking about, for example, Nile Rodgers, because it's like he's not the flashy guy, he's not the crazy like those 16th notes, crazy right hand going all over the place. No, he does his job, and because of that, he's that crazy accomplished producer and guitarist that have worked with like numerous artists because he gets the job done. And then I feel like you're the guy that brings it like to the next level because you have that more modern percussive guitar playing. Were there other influences that made you go to the modern level of it, or was it something that you just felt that you had to go to another
So
place?
that's why it was very like strange for me, because while I was approaching all the Nile Rodgers like kind of 16 notes, then now it's taken for granted, but he invented that. Like now funk guitar is, but before it was not, it's thanks to Nile Rodgers and thanks to Prince. Even if Prince had a more like the structure approach, because you hear a guitar line and then you understand that it's made up of very different parts that he put together in the recording.
He's more of a Frankensteinish kind of like all over the place artist,
Building
right?
roofs, But a lot of people tell me, "Oh, you're like the funk polyphia guy." But actually, like all this kind of percussive stuff didn't really come from polyphia or like this more modern percussive, like plucking guitar player, tossing a bass in. For me, it really came from learning how to play the bass. Because during the lockdown, my uncle gave me his old Music Master bass. And I always loved the sound of bass, because I, Liz Johnson, Victor Wooten, Marcus Miller, funk. You gotta love bass if you love funk. But I was never really able to play it, just maybe really simple bass lines, finger style, So then I really tried to learn how to slap and pluck and all these techniques. And I was then interested in trying to put them into the guitar playing, because
I
I was
see.
still alone. I was still far from my bandmates during the lockdown. And I just found it very creative to like try to put in all this like percussive clean stuff together with chords and like the Nile Rodgers stuff. Because you can have just a very simple funk drum beat and have all these elements like moving with a guitar track, and it feels like a complete arrangement. It's like guitar and bass put together, but in a funk environment, So for me, really like learning how to play bass. Of course, I'm not like a advanced bass player, but learning like the very basic slap and tap and plucking technique on bass really opened a world to me on how to play guitar. And I think that's what people really were attracted to also in my videos when I started posting, the Get Into the Groove riff, all this like a little funky thing, because you have like the polyphia, like more advanced approach in the right hand, but at the same time you don't have that much of complexity to the melody. It's still very like funky and groovy and pretty simple, It's more like based on rhythm than
It's a
than
different thing.
harmony.
And it's funny, I think you're like bang on, nailed to the head. You nailed it, because when we look at history, we're talking about jazz fusion, Miles Davis, Weather Report, Herbie Hancock, Mahavishnu Orchestra, all those guys. That's why it's called jazz fusion. They fuse jazz with rock, jazz with Latin music, jazz with all those crazy things, and for example, Indian music, whatever it is, they fusion, and that's what made jazz modern at that time. And it's funny how you did the same thing with funk. It's like, wow, I literally got an instrument that kind of wasn't made to be played like this because it's not a bass guitar, it's a guitar, but whatever. I'm gonna give it a try because I think it sounds nice. There you go. It sounds modern. I don't generally swear, but it sounds modern as fuck because it's like you don't hear this another place. And then now, of course, we're starting to hear it because it's like you're playing it a lot. Polyphia is playing a lot. Tosin Abasi is playing a lot. So it's like, okay, that's great. So people are catching on to it. But it's like the idea of joining two different things. It's like finally, it was about time, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Because it's not like there are two instruments that are too far apart from each other. They're so similar, but for whatever reason, it never really latched on for the technique of one instrument to go to the other, and then I don't know, someone become famous through it and get recognition for it, right?
Yeah. But
Awesome.
then the cool thing is that I noticed that there are actually some guitar players that were slapping the guitar in a funk environment, actually. And those were Isinor from Cassiopeia. There's a cool live that if you look, Galactic Funk, I think it's live in 85. He does a solo where he's just like, he's slapping the guitar. And I
True.
discovered that later. And also like Tom Fujita,
Hopefully.
he loved, yeah, he slaps the guitar. I just met him yesterday at NAMM for the first time. He slaps the guitar and he's amazing. And also Charlie Hunter, even if it's more like R&B jazz with hybrid, he really put like bass and guitar together like 20 years before everyone. So
Yep.
yeah.
But and it's funny how it wasn't an aesthetic that, for example, we were talking about like Chicoria, so Frank Gambale was involved with the whole sweep kind of thing, and then you had Van Halen with the tap kind of thing. When that started to become a thing, it became a thing like for real. Like people couldn't take their eyes off of it, right? Like, holy crap, I need to learn that. And then with the whole like thump and slap on guitar thing, it wasn't really, it was more of an offset wave going on, some guys doing it here and there, but it's like now it's kind of inevitable, right? You were talking about another trend that was the whole neo soul thing, which one of the guys from my country was so responsible on making it happen, right?
Oh,
Matheus
yeah.
Assato. Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, did you know Matheus Assato is Brazilian? And then he was also,
Yeah. He was here yesterday too at NAMM.
Yep.
I saw him.
And
Yeah, no, he's
and
amazing.
similar to you, he did this route in YouTube instead of Instagram.
Yeah,
he
on
he
YouTube,
posted
yeah.
slowly his videos, and it got like huge traction until he started playing with Jesse J and Bruno Mars, and then
Yeah.
the rest is history, right? So everything, if you continue to follow this way of like doing your music where people are loving it, right?
Yeah.
That they feel a connection with it. It's just a matter of time until you play with the artists that really want to make sure they get you on their gigs, right? And even touching on this subject, that I don't know if it's something that makes you, I don't know if the word is like uncomfortable or not, but like, do you feel any kind of uncomfortable? How would you say this? Do you feel any kind of like uncomfortable vibes if someone says you're a Instagram guitarist, a YouTube guitarist, a internet guitarist? Like how do you face that?
No, I'm the one to say that I'm like a guitar influencer, you know. It's fun.
Exactly. You don't feel uncomfortable when someone comes up to you and you're like, oh, you're not a
No,
guitar
because
player and a guitar
then
influencer. You're like,
I was able to translate it to live shows, you know.
I see.
And that's not immediate, you know. You can have a very big following online, but then, you know, no one comes to your shows. And I was really happy that we just did a tour in the US and it went great, and now we're about to go on a tour Europe, and the ticket sales are going really well, you know. And that's, I think, still because you gotta be able to engage with your audience, you know.
Yeah.
So then when it's time for you to give them something like a show, like a CD, like an album, it's really important that people are engaged to what you're doing and they're interested in what you're doing. So yeah, for me, like, it's no problem. Like, I was walking around in them and there were people saying, hey, you're the funky Instagram guy. I'm just like, yeah, man, it makes me proud, really. For me, it's not something that I'm ashamed of, really.
It shows that you're making a good
I
job,
can
right?
tattoo
Into
Instagram
it.
on my, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Really.
And for example, another part of that whole being internet guitarist, you are also a guy that doesn't talk too often, doesn't do interviews too often.
No,
So
yeah.
how do you feel like in this dynamic we're having at the moment, actually, how do you feel in like expressing yourself in ways you generally don't? Is it something you want to be the front man, or you actually want to be the guy that is just like, my music speak for
No,
it
that's,
myself?
yeah, that's a really interesting thing that I never talk about. Like, yes, I am the guitar influencer, but at the same time, I don't have that approach of like, hey guys, this is me learning a new song. Hey guys, this is how I record my videos. Hey guys, this is new pedal from. No, like, you can go. I have 200 videos on my page. You don't see any video where I'm talking. I just let the music speak. And when brands are like approaching me or like saying, hey, are you willing to promote this guitar? Are you willing to promote this cable? Whatever. Like, of course, guys, but just know that I'm not going to go, hey, guys, here's the new pedal from. I'm just going to play it. And people are going to be interested into it, you know. through my music, they will be happy to see. You know, I will tag them and everything, but I will not be like the kind of influencer, like review demo guy, or just, you know, some sort of like fashion thing where you're just like learn. I don't really post a lot of private stuff of my life on social media. It's all about music, and you know, I think I want to keep that for a while, but I do want to get like more interviews, more like I want to do some behind the scenes where I'm explaining my process to record videos, the setup, sound interface, because that's something that's still related to music, you know. So yeah, I'm not. It was just easier for me to not talk, because you know, of course, English is not my first language, and I don't know if it just feel weird to me to talk. We just, you know, it was just for me. It was just easier to let the music speak for myself.
But nothing related to like shyness. It's more of your the approach you want to have, right? It's like
Yeah, it's more like my approach. But then, you know, when people meet me in real life, like a name or stuff, they always say, "Oh, I was not expecting for you to be like this." I don't know what kind of image do I
what do
translate.
they mean with like this? Do you have any idea?
No, I think they mean it in a good way, like a chill dude, because I'm really like a chill guy. So
Okay, I see.
probably, you know,
I
they
see, I
get a
see.
different vibe from the videos, but I hope not.
It could be either from a positive or a negative perspective. Oh, I didn't expect it to be like this, but what I imagine is that the person doesn't even know what to expect because since you wouldn't talk before, it's like, what are you gonna expect from a guy that it isn't talking regularly, right? And speaking from that part of like the whole personality kind of thing, right? Your online personality is your musical personality, is your guitar personality. Is there something you still want to improve on? Either like and things you still study till this day, because from us looking outside, everything seems so perfect. Everything seems
Yeah,
so,
that's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, and I want to take this opportunity to talk about this because, you know, Instagram is amazing, social media are amazing, but sometimes I feel like, and it's important to share it, that you know, on Instagram, of course, you have that video, you have that composition, you know, and it has to be perfect, it has to be clean and everything. And it's just like, you know, Instagram in general, social media in general, you know, you have people posting their holidays and it's the best holiday ever. You know, maybe like 6 days out of seven, the weather was shitty, but you're not gonna see that on social media. You're gonna see like the holiday where the sun is bright and the food is like perfect. You know, and you know, when you're on social media, you kind of know that it's like that. But you know, when I was since I was not a, I was never playing shows before, music for me was just an hobby, a passion. I was not a professional musician before. Going from having like all these hundreds of thousands of followers on social media and then playing shows, like doing a tour, playing big festivals all over the world, you know, I went from 0 to 100. And of course, I was like, if you start thinking, okay, are gonna people like record videos of myself playing? What if I mess up in that exact moment? You know, and people are gonna post that and everyone's gonna see, oh, it's not like on Instagram. You know,
And of course it's not going to be,
people gotta
right?
understand
Because it's a different
it's never
context,
gonna be
right?
like Instagram. Not even Matteo Sozzato, no, you know, of course, and it's gonna be better than Instagram, you know, and he's gonna make mistakes, of course, but he's gonna have such more energy and feel because it's not just 1 minute, it's a full performance. Yesterday I was playing and now I'm at a booth and I looked and there was Virgin White there looking at me, the bassist from Earth, Wind & Fire. And there was Tom Quayle down looking at me. And of course, if you start to think about all these things, you're gonna mess up. And so whatever, you know, people that are there and feel the energy of the show, the groove, they're not gonna even hear a dirty note or a wrong lick, you know, because it's about the energy, it's about groove, and it's about also like about the conviction. If you're believing what you're playing, you know, even if you mess up something, people are not gonna remember. The notes are gonna remember how you made them feel, you know.
And for the online strategy, let's say, it's kind of the opposite, right? You want to get the perfect take, you want to get the perfect vibe, because you can get the perfect vibe. You can have as many takes as you want until you hit the target you want to hit, right?
Probably the thing that I would suggest is try not to do something that is completely different from what you're gonna
Yeah, that
do
helps. That helps.
on a live show, but of course, it's different. But even if you just do it in one take, it's different being in your room with your setup, sitting with your phone and being on a show, with the noise, with all the other bandmates that are nervous like you, and a lot of people watching that are there for you. It's not the same thing, and I think more people should understand that.
And I imagine that has been like such a new experience for you, because kind of like what you were saying, you came from it's called Trento, right? Your
Yeah,
hometown.
Trento, yes.
It's a small town in Italy, right?
Yes.
Is it like near Napoli, if I'm not wrong?
Oh, no, it's actually in the north near the Alps.
Oh, near the
It's
Alps.
like 100,000 inhabitants. It's not super small, but like the music scene there, it's
I see.
non-existing.
I see. So even if you had the opportunity to play live, it would be a totally different kind of live gig, right? And maybe in a
Yeah.
small bar and like in a it,
No,
whatever.
that's the
In a,
thing.
yeah. So it's like for you to get these new experiences that you're getting now, how do you prepare yourself mentally to get to a stage, because it's something that it's different from your history, it's different from your background.
Yeah. So I played a bunch of festivals after the lockdown. And it was a really nice experience. We played in the Netherlands. We played in Israel. We played in Holland. And we also played in Indonesia. The first tour that I ever did, headline tour, was in the States, in the United States, in September, from September to November. And United States are the first country for my following. The second one is Brazil. In
Yay.
fact, I'm really looking forward to go there, because Brazilian fans are really like the most devoted. I met yesterday Junior Brooquinha, the bass player, and it was like, man, you gotta come to Brazil. Like, people there love you. So I'm really looking forward to go to Brazil. But apart from that, so I go. First show is in Syracuse, and I was freaking out because I never did a tour before, headliner tour, and I go on stage and like people were so like supportive, cheering, and it was amazing. So, for me, I started to get more comfortable to live shows and to just enjoy the process. And of course, during the tour, I understand how to do a lot of stuff
I
during the
see.
shows that I didn't know how to do before. So
Yeah.
now, it's fun. Live shows are fun, but of course, there's gonna always be a new challenge. For example, we played at Berklee College. It was like the fifth show, and I was terrified because I was expecting a lot of like jet skis, like just standing there waiting for me to make a mistake. But it was not like that. People were dancing, having a great time. My in-ear monitor was not working, so I was like, "Fuck it!" And everyone was laughing. People are, it's a very beautiful community. I think, especially for like funk, R&B music, it's a very beautiful environment. And the next scary thing for me was going at NAMM, playing in front of Victor Wooten and all these other guitar players and very professional like producers and brands. But again, everyone was stoked to be there, and everyone was having a great time, and everyone was supportive. They were it's a great really it's a great I think here in the US, and from all the experiences that I got, it's a really great scene.
I'm so happy for you that you're facing these challenges with probably the same mentality you face the challenge of recording better and better videos for Instagram, in the sense of like, okay, I'm gonna do them and I'm gonna evaluate how to adapt and make them even better as it goes by, but I won't stress over many errors that eventually happen here and there, right? Because it's just part of the
Yeah.
process. It's part of like maturing your whole playing. And because you're known as the crazy, perfect, funky guy. I'm just saying what we hear a lot of the times, right? You said that it's like in the backstage, it's not like that. You try to make a video that's kind of like choreographed a little bit for Instagram so that it can fit in like under 60 seconds, and it will have
Yeah.
like a specific format. Do you feel a pressure to sound impressive what I mean about that. It's like we see so many virtuosos like Marcin or Tim Henson or Ichika Nico or El Estepariano. How do you say it? El Estepario Siberiano, right? The
El
drums.
Estepario
So
Siberiano,
yeah, so those guys, they all sound so impressive. That does that
But
pressure
like
get
I
to
don't
you?
no, honestly, like I don't like there was how's that name? Matteo Mancuso is another
Matteo
very big,
Mancuso, exactly.
shredder. He was and all these, like as you said, Chicanito and all these very like virtuosos, like crazy shredding fest. I'm not like that, but I do not I do not say it without shame. I cannot play fast, like physically, I cannot sweep pick. I cannot play. I can play fast for like 5 seconds, and then my hands messes up. So in fact, if you hear my licks, you can have like a triplet 16 thing, but it is like 2 seconds, and then you go back to the groove, because physically, is not what I can do. This is why I never consider myself like a shredder or virtuoso. I always base my playing on groove and on phrasing, and for people worked, and it's fine. You know, everyone does its own thing, and there's space for everyone. I'm glad I'm not in that virtuoso like arena, because I feel there can be a lot of competition. Maybe not, but you know, it's not my vibe. I don't care how many notes I can play. I really, for me, it's important where you put the notes. You can they can be really three notes, but if they're put in the right groove, to me they express much more than 1,000 notes played perfectly clean, perfectly on time. But to me they all sound like scales. They don't really sound like music.
So,
But again, it's my taste, of
no,
course. You
of
know,
course, of course.
I wish I could play like that, of course.
So, even though you don't look at yourself as the virtuoso shredder kind of thing, I feel like in a way you're a little bit in the middle, in the best of ways, in my opinion, because it's like you can play a lot of notes and fast things, but towards the groovy and rhythm kind of aspect of the music, not in the scale kind of thing. So, what would you say if people want to start how to groove better and get to the level you are at playing in the pocket, playing the grooves, playing the riffs, the rhythm section? What would be your advice for people to get to the level you are today?
Oh, definitely, like I don't really do, like I practice and I rehearse through composing and through working on new ideas, recording. But one exercise that I really do is like practicing with a metronome, and it can also be a drum beat. You know, you put it to like 100 beats per minute, and try like time subdivisions. You start on quarters, then you go on 16ths, then you go on triplets. You know, try to really stay in the pocket with the metronome or with a drum beat. That's the best exercise that you can do. And that's the only exercise that I do before the shows. You know, I put like a click, and then I just, you know,
I see.
start to be way more locked that I can into it.
I see.
But that's my approach again, because, you know, many players, even George Benson, for example, have that laid back approach to the beat, where it's like always a little like laid back. To me, like the note has to fall exactly on the beat, but that's my approach, because I like it like that. I like the funk that is very tight, and very clean. You know, to me, like sounding clean really comes from groove more than like, you know, playing really fast. So yeah, definitely, like that's the only exercise that I'm always doing.
But that's great. That's great advice, because other funk greats like Tomo and I think it was a Corey Wong lesson that I saw. Was it on Reverb? I'm not too sure now, but it was one of those guitar channels which was like, hey, now we're gonna have a funk lesson and all we're gonna use is the metronome to sound tight, right? And it's impressive how a good funk guitar player can play with the metronome in so many different ways and not make it sound boring. So either you make it hit on all the beats of the measure, or just two and four, or just four, or you purposefully are gonna leave it blank for a long while and then it's gonna come back after a few measures to see if you hit it like after 10 seconds or whatever it is. And it feels like for you to have that amount of preciseness, you have to have a little bit of that metronome like instruments going on for you to communicate with the
Definitely,
guitar,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, definitely.
Something you have to refine. And it's like if you go just based on feel, maybe kind of like what you said, George Benson, like someone that always plays laid back, you will play based on feel, and then sometimes your feel will be rushing a little, laying back a little, but in the best of senses.
Yes,
If
true.
you want to see how precise you are, want to get to the rhythm guitar funk area, the metronome is your friend. So I think that's great advice.
It's
And
true.
I think for us to wrap up, just because this is one of, like, to me, the greatest curiosities of someone that wants to find a good balance between the internet and when I say internet, it's mainly social media, and like your career as an artist. How would you say you need to like approach both of these areas in terms of like composition, in terms of personality? Because I feel like if you're a guy that only looks towards social media, you can end up being stuck there in the sense of like, oh, since I always need to do 60 seconds videos, I'll never do like a Rush song like 2112, which is 20 minutes long, or Pink Floyd, right? I'll never let my music breathe enough for it to have that ambience, for it to have that storytelling that those guys did so well back in the 60s, 70s, because there wasn't any kind of pressure, or at least not like it is nowadays, of course, right? To make it sound more concise, to make it sound faster and shorter. How do you balance like the whole artistry behind letting the music breathe and develop, and the short and more digestible social media music?
So that's what also Matteo Zazzato was talking about. Remember, like, he took hiatus a couple of years ago from social media because he told everyone that his mindset was only like 1 minute stuff and he could not write anymore, like, full songs. And of course, for me, it's like kind of the same. When you focus too much of like 1 minute shorts, you get into that mindset, And then when you go back to like writing a song, you remember, wait, I don't have to put like a solo in like only 4 bars. I can take my time and create something, more enjoyable and long, so it's definitely dangerous. At the same time, you gotta be aware that we live in a world where direct connections that only happen on social media and on the internet. Like, even if you go to NAMM, you can see like many brands, many opportunities, producers. Now it's all there. You gotta be able to find what social media does good for you. What is bringing you that you cannot have on like other situations. And then try to get the best out of it. For example, like if a very big producer starts to follow me, engage with him, sending me your stuff. It's really important. Like, to me, all these connections, like going to festivals, being able to book a tour, all of this stuff really came from social media because I spent time working on it and try to make those relationships happen in real life. Of course, if you're just stuck on posting videos and creating content without taking anything out of it, is gonna be just that.
So you have to be really aware, right, of what it can do, positive, but also negative in terms of
And also
putting you
what
in a
you need,
box, right?
like what is missing. Like, for example, for me, I was missing basically everything I did in my hometown. But maybe you have a very good like jam session scene, but you're missing like some good connections with the producers. And then so you can start, instead of like doing videos where you solo, you start doing videos where you create like a full song and you make the whole arrangement. You show like start on the drum beat, you go on the bass, because you want to find something that helps you with that. It really depends on what your also are your needs as a musician,
That's great. By the way, do you know we're talking about music and all these guys? I feel like because you said Junior Braguinha, and that kind of like got stuck in my head because I was like, holy crap, I'm so happy that these guys that are coming from Brazil have a connection with people at NAMM, a connection with people around the world. How familiar are you with Javan? Have you ever heard that name? Djavan, Javan.
Oh yeah, I did a cover of Samurai. Yeah, no man, he's incredible. He's
Exactly.
amazing.
If I like as a Brazilian and a guy that knows Brazilian music, if I had to say like an artist for you to keep an eye so that you can see all these levels of like different rhythms, dude, stick to him. Because of course there are other greats as well, but he's the guy that made it sound so amazing for the pop music, the pop Brazilian pop industry. So in many ways, kind of like a our Stevie Wonder, you know, but in a different way. And Stevie Wonder as well plays on like one of his tracks and things like that. You know, he's very
Yeah,
popular.
right. No, yeah, like to me, like Brazilian, like I see it on social media too, like Brazilian musicians are so talented, man. Incredible. I don't know if it comes from like gospel, but it's so tight, man. It's so like tasty. And I'm a big fan of like Brazilian music, like Tim Maia, Ed Motta, Gilberto Gil,
Yeah, so
Banda
you
Black
know the
Rio.
good guys. You know the good guys.
Yeah,
Stick to
yeah,
those.
yeah.
Stick to those and you'll love
Yeah, man. I
them.
love Brazilian music.
That is so great. Have you ever been here, by the way?
No, like I'm really working with my booking agency
Yes. Yes.
to organize a tour there because I really want to go. It's my dream.
Yeah. So make sure you when you come, you book some off day. You have some off days, right? So you can go to Blue Note. So you can go to a few bars and see like samba and see bossa and see forró and also make sure like I'm just gonna be like your informal, right? Tourist guide. Make sure you also get a hang of all the different nuances in the regional music because a lot of people only know like bossa and samba, right? But then you have baião in our northeast. You have like many rhythms in the south and the north, so it's like really varied. It's not just one thing or two things. You have choro. So, anyways, it's like an infinitude of sounds, which is great. And I'd also like to ask you for us that maybe are not too aware of the Italian music, other than Matteo Mancuso, for example, that we've cited before. Who's in the Italian scene? Who's in the, doing the Italian music that we should be aware of?
Oh, there's a really cool band that is called New Genea, and it's amazing. Like it gets all like the Mediterranean like rhythms and percussions, and they put it to a really like funk, but also like it's not just funk. It's like a little jazzy, a little like traditional like southern Italian music, and they often sing in like this southern dialect. It's incredible. I suggest you to check it out.
Great.
It's also very similar to like some Brazilian and also Caribbean music. It's really incredible.
Oh, great. So, guys, I'll definitely check that out, and I hope the guys that are watching this video will too as well. Giacomo, that's all for this podcast. I love having all your takes because it's a different perspective, you know? At the same time, for example, in this new second season, we've had Frank Gambale, which is the totally offline guy and has the history of doing the offline music and touring around the world, and which happily you're also you're building your history and touring all around the world. You're the polar opposite of the modern guy with the internet takes, and it helps us have a breath of fresh air on all the possibilities we can get when we take it seriously, when we do it well done, and you're a super great example of that. Thank you so much for your insights in this podcast. Leave us your social media, your any maybe online courses or tour dates or whatever you'd like to announce here at the end of the podcast.
Amazing. All right. Thank you very much, man, for having me.
Oh,
It's been a great time.
I'm so happy. So, what would you like to announce your social media? Any links? Any where people can find you?
Yeah, so you can all find me like as Giacomo Turra, my name, on mainly on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. If you go to my website or if you go to my Spotify, where I have a bunch of original music and more original music coming out, you can see my tour dates. I will be in UK and Europe in February and March, and I will soon announce the new South American, Central American, and North American dates.
When you come to Brazil, I'll make sure to be there, especially if you come here close.
Man,
Because
yeah, we'll connect definitely.
Brazil is so huge, where it's like you can go to Rio and São Paulo, and there's so much to do there. But you can also go to like Bahia and like the Northeast that I was saying, and the South. And I live in the center, right? Like in the kind of like Midwest-ish kind of thing. And we've also have like a great music scene here. And when I told, for example, one of my friends that I invited you to the podcast, and they were like, "Holy crap, I know that guy. Are you really having him?" And they're like, "Yeah, he's surprisingly accessible." And I'm so glad we've managed to make this happen after many
Yeah,
tries,
man,
because
absolutely.
it was a bit hectic, right, to get
Yeah.
the schedules and the time zones along and the connection. But I'm so glad it happened. And what
Amazing.
else? For anyone that's interested in following the podcast, please follow us on YouTube, on Spotify. Follow me on Instagram. It's Vilela Volume 11, Volume 11. So you guys can follow me there. And now to officially wrap up the episode, Giacomo, thank you so much. We'll be seeing everyone that's watching this podcast in the next episode of Volume 11. See you there.
Thank you, man.